Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Ah, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Monday. Week 4 in the NFL, week 5 in college football. Baseball playoffs are starting. What's the good of the day, though?
None of that.
None of that.
None of that. It's actually something that we've talked about before, but we talked about the outside of it.
Okay.
Now we're going to talk about the inside of it. And, of course, I'm talking about the Sphere in Vegas.
Right.
So we talked about the outside and how cool it is, how creepy it could be, but just how, you know, it's an amazing thing, this gigantic ball in the middle of the desert that is a gigantic video screen. And then they decided to open it up and have a concert on the inside. And you two open it up, and the scenes from inside are incredible.
Oh, right. I did not see the scenes from inside.
Tony.
Well, you got to describe it. You can't just say it was good. Like, we got to tell me what's going on.
The entire inside of the Sphere is a gigantic movie screen.
Awesome.
And so I don't even know if you can call that a 180-degree view. Right? I mean, I think it's more than that because it's 360? Above you. It could be 360, except you're probably not looking behind you. Maybe 270. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out
Is it 360? Because they like it.
I don't think it goes all the way around. Because you have seats all the way going up one side.
And
for once in your life, it feels like the best seat in the house would probably be in the upper section. That way you can still see the band, you can hear the music, but you get the full view of these video screens. It was incredible. Some things like that you two did may be claustrophobic to some people. You know, like making it look like the wall or the ceiling is collapsing on top of you.
Yeah.
But then they did other songs where they were just out like almost like a moonscape, and you know, or a desert somewhere, and it looks so lifelike.
That's great.
It is incredible, and I really do now want to go see a concert there.
So of all the people, all the groups that could have opened that, U2, was that the right choice?
They're doing a residency. I don't know how long the residency is going to be.
Oh, I got it. Okay. So
this is their first night. They will be doing a couple of shows there. I don't know for how long. But, you know, everyone's already looking at, who's going to be next? Who will be the next residency there?
Gotcha. Like, okay.
You know, it was...
Wow, U2 is doing residency in Vegas?
Who doesn't do residencies in Vegas
now? Oh, I know, but bands usually don't. Singers do. Bands usually do not.
Yeah.
There's more money to be made.
I mean, Elton John, he did one for a while, but that's a singer.
That's a singer. Like Celine Dion, Carrie Underwood, right? All of them usually do that. But bands... That's not really a thing. That's pretty surprising, but that's good for them.
But it is. It looked incredible on the inside. It's a new concert experience
that's cool.
I don't think we knew we needed.
Yeah. Right. No kidding.
But like
this
I said,
Sphere is. I can't believe there aren't 50 accididents a day on the highway.
Oh, there's got to be,
Sphere.
Right.
Like, I keep watching video of it from the outside, and I'm like, they're driving on a highway, and a big eyeball is right there, or a big emoji, or the globe, or a basketball, or something is just like, this gigantic thing is in the eyesight as you're driving.
I wonder if you could see it from space, like, if the eyeball is looking up. Right. I know you can see the Luxor beam.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you probably wouldn't be able to make out that's an eyeball, but if you get like a really good telescope or something, could you see an eyeball in the desert?
Yeah, I don't get. Jeez.
Maybe it's not big enough. Maybe we got time yet.
No, That is pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing.
But yeah, do yourself a favor if you're driving right now when you get to work and you haven't seen it yet. Yeah, just log on Twitter and type in Sphere. I mean, 1,000 videos are going to pop up.
You ever seen U2 in concert?
I have not. It's on a bucket list.
I did. I saw them in Foxborough in 93, early 90s. It was the Zoo TV tour.
Okay.
And it was awesome. It was really cool. I had terrible seats because I was a college kid and I could only afford terrible seats. But me and a buddy went. We had a great time. It was phenomenally fun. No, it was 92 because Bush was president and there was election. Because Bono did a bit where he called the president, called George Bush. And so, yeah, 92. Summer of 92. Went to go see U2 in concert.
He called George Bush?
Yeah, he did this bit where he was like, hello, is the president there? Blah, 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 blah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really fun. That was a good show. And you know what's funny was I remember in high school in the 80s, everyone was a U2 fan. Everyone. And I wasn't really. I kind of was, but I wasn't. I wasn't as big as some of the kids. But then I got the Joshua Tree, and then I became like a gigantic fan. I'm a huge fan. The album before, people knew them and knew of them. I didn't know much of them. But when I remember watching MTV, and they had that video where the Streets Have No Name, where they did it on the roof in Los Angeles. And Rick Dees had told people that they were doing that, and people started coming down to the downtown area to watch them, and police had to show up and shut it down. And it was really cool. It was so neat. That video was so well put together because it was real. A lot of people thought it was staged, that the police were there as part of the skit that they were shutting U2 down. But no, they really were trying to shut U2 down, and there was a secondary camera on the interactions of the police and the production company, like, we're stopping this. Because the crowds, we can't control the crowds. They were everywhere. They were hanging on light poles. They were filling up all the things. They were shutting down traffic. And it was a really cool video. And I remember thinking, this band's awesome. I'm going to watch this band. So good for you two to open up the sphere.
I don't think many people know that there were albums before Joshua Tree.
Right. I know. It's very true. All right. What is the bad of the day?
It's a bone to pick. And this might be a larger thing than ever, but... You know, we always talk about media doing things for clicks, right?
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, Skip Bayless saying things that I fully can't believe he believes.
Right.
Sometimes or anything like that. So, you know, it's two incidences that I didn't expect it coming. And one was Rodney Harrison last night at postgame trying to bait Chris Jones into the Zach Wilson is trash talk.
Oh, right.
Now, Chris Jones didn't get into it. I'm happy for that. But I was surprised that Rodney Harrison is doing that when arguably this was Zach Wilson's best game of the season.
It really was.
That didn't make sense to me that Rodney Harrison was sticking to this narrative when you just saw him outplay, you know, the quote-unquote best quarterback in the league.
Right, he did.
And then the other incident that it just, I don't know, I'm starting to see that maybe it wasn't a – good. I don't know what to think of it, but Pat McAfee the whole Pat McAfee versus Washington State, which under Washington State's umbrella is Ryan Leaf and head coach Jim Dickert, because both of them had a bone to pick of what Lee Corso said, which I think was valid of what they said, that, you know, when Lee Corso had said the previous week that, oh, you know, it's Washington State versus Oregon State or the No One Cares Bowl.
Well, I heard, so I didn't see the Lee Corso clip. What exactly did he say? Because I felt like there were two reports on what Corso said. He called it the Nobody Wants Us Bowl or the Nobody Cares Bowl.
Yeah, the Nobody Cares Bowl.
So if he said the Nobody Cares Bowl, that's one thing. If he says the Nobody Wants Us Bowl, that's actually funny because they're the only two teams left in the Pac-12 that none other conference.
No, you're right. Nobody Wants Us Bowl.
That's not a bad thing to be upset about. It is true. The ACC didn't come knocking. The Big 12 and Big 10 didn't come knocking. So Lee Corso was making, I thought, an accurate joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a statement. It was a joke. If people are interpreted as the Nobody Cares Bowl, that's silly. That's a dumb thing to say because they're ranked teams in the Pac-12. But the Nobody Wants Us Bowl, I thought, was a little better. Like, I didn't think people would have a real, like, mentally breaking down over that.
Because I think Coach Dicker heard it differently.
Yeah, probably.
He even reiterated and said, nobody watches us bowl.
Right. Nobody watches us bowl. Now, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's a dumb thing.
That's what I guess probably somebody had said to him.
Right.
Instead of what it was. Ryan Leaf's argument is just that, you know, College Game Day is supposed to be a celebration of college football, and it's kind of going away from that. And then Pat McAfee doubling down on that and just really ripping Washington State to shreds over the weekend.
Do you think McAfee is playing a role that ESPN is saying,
yes,
listen,
and that's
we
why
need you to be more villainous, a little controversial. This show is stale. It's like, I don't even watch it. Like, I used to watch it religiously.
I think what it is that, you know, we've had controversial figures in the past, but I think people got used to say, I'll point out Stephen A. right? Because Stephen A. says a lot of things, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of heat with Stephen A. for the longest time. Or not really heat, but people were tuning in because of what he was saying. Right. And I think that's gotten stale. And so now you're bringing in a newer face that does the same exact thing. And I almost want to say that I think they are pushing him to do that.
I think so,
or
too.
Or he's taking it upon himself to be that eccentric because he has a larger platform now.
I think Big Noon Kickoff is a little edgier, but Game Day has been the staple of the sport for 30 years. Like I said, I used to watch it religiously. It was the complete pregame appetizer you wanted for the day. Right. But now I don't find myself needing to watch it. I don't find myself running to watch it. There isn't a sense of new blood. Maybe this is the role that they said, listen, you play this villainous kind of character that fans jump in the crowd surf, do all that nonsense. We need it.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb, and then week four of the NFL. We do have some baseball I want to get to as well. Man, like I filled my outline with a whole bunch of things.
The season's over, so obviously we got to get into baseball in a bit.
Yes, we got Baseball Tuesday with playoffs. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, bear with me here, right?
Yeah.
The NFL and the NFLPA came up with new betting rules.
Yes, I saw this.
And so, obviously, if you're going to bet on your team, you know, that comes with a 2-year suspension. And I don't really think that's dumb. I understand that aspect of it.
You shouldn't bet on your team at all.
Right.
At all. To win or lose, stay away from that completely.
But maybe you can help explain this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe that's the dumb part, is that I'm having trouble wrapping my head around it. If you are an NFL player and you are betting on non-NFL sports,
right?
There's still ways hefty suspensions.
Okay, so what it is if you bet. Okay, so here's the way it breaks down. If you bet on the NFL, like we were just talking about, indefinite suspension, a minimum of 1 year. That was Calvin Ridley. Problem.
And right.
So if you bet on the NFL.
Well, now they upped it. Now it's two.
Now it's two. So there you go. So if you attempt to fix a game, banned from the NFL for life.
Yeah.
If you have inside information and you're tipping off bettors, like if you say there's an injury when they haven't been reported yet or whatever, that's an indefinite suspension. You do not want, the NFL doesn't want to mess with this. So here's the deal. If you bet on a non-NFL game,
say,
you are now allowed to do this, but you can't do it on property.
Right.
So you can't do it in the locker room. You can't do it in the parking lot. You can't do it in the cafeteria. You can't do it in the training room. If you want to bet on baseball, do it at your house. That is something you can do.
You know, pull your car over on the way to the stadium and hook up to Starbucks' Wi-Fi.
Exactly. But if you make a bet, so here's what the updated betting thing is, according to theathletic.com. First offense is a 2-game suspension. Second offense is a 6-game suspension. Third offense is suspension for 1 year. So don't bet on non-NFL games anywhere in the vicinity of the building that you work in. That's what the NFL is doing. So basically, and this is the other thing about this, this was not a collective bargained thing. Like Roger Goodell has the right as the commissioner to establish this policy. However, Goodell, because he likes to play politics, always remember about this with him, decided that he was going to work with NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell on this. He didn't have to, but he did it anyway. Like, this is Goodell, man. This is Goodell being Goodell. He understands, like,
what,
I'll do
it shows
a little
good
bit over
faith.
Here to do a little. Yeah, it shows good faith. Yeah. There's always a larger thing with Goodell's actions,
now,
right?
And this is the part where, okay, I have trouble understanding this. Why does it matter? I get not betting on your sport. I get
right.
that. I totally 100% agree with that, especially betting on your team. You know, because and when you're in the NFL, you do have insider information. You have insider information, I mean, for, you know, the players that you're playing against. But if you're betting on basketball, if you're betting on baseball, if you're betting on soccer or whatever it might be, why should it matter if you did it in the locker room prior to a game or post game?
I agree.
So that's the part I don't get.
I don't know other than the NFL wants to distance itself from its players betting at all.
Right, but at the same time, the NFL, I mean, that's where the, you know, the, what's the word I'm looking for? The irony comes in because, I mean, they're making money off of FanDuel and making money off of
DraftKings. I get it, yeah. It does seem very, it does seem a little hypocritical.
Yeah.
But let's go back to this for a second. If you are a workplace structure, right, you have the right to say, I don't want you doing this in my building. I don't want you doing that in my building. Like, I don't want you posting on Facebook in the building. Like, you have every right to do that. They're not saying you can't do it.
Right.
They're just saying you can't do it at work. So they're saying, like, don't do it at work. Like, just it's just the, like, just a simple thing. It's not a statement of we are outraged or offended by gambling. They're just saying we don't want our players doing it at work.
You know, it reminds me of that scene in Tombstone.
I didn't see Tombstone.
You never seen Tombstone?
No.
Oh my God! We got a new dumb right now.
Yeah.
You gotta go and see Tombstone. I don't know, but there's a scene in Tombstone where you know the Wyatt brothers become sheriffs and stuff, and they say that you know they ban guns in town. And Sam Elliott's character is great. He's like, we're not saying you can't own a gun. We're not saying you can't carry a gun. We're simply saying you can't carry a gun in town.
Yeah, yeah, same kind of thing. Now, I agree with you. I think it is hypocritical. You are in this business.
Yeah, I mean, you're making money off of them.
I think in the but is there a difference between okay? What's the difference between the NFL having a partnership with FanDuel and saying to its players, we don't want you participating in this activity on site, and having an agreement with Bud Light or Miller Lite and saying, we don't want you to drink beer in the facility. Like, you don't see beer flowing in locker rooms in NFL facilities.
That's true.
You don't see, you know, you don't see.
What about when they're celebrating? So, they do, right?
Well, yeah, but a little, well, yeah, that's at the stadium, not at the facility.
Right.
But like, but you don't like, so what's the, like, it's okay to say, look, they're not, again, the NFL is not saying to its players, you can have a beer at home. You can't drink it in the cafeteria. On games. You can do all the parlays you want. You can't just do it in our building.
Now, is that a rule or is that just something that, you know, they just don't offer it?
Because I mean, I don't know. That's a good point. You know,
beer.
Good. Maybe they just don't offer it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
beer
at
practice. I mean, maybe these guys wouldn't go for that anyways.
Yeah. But I think if you're the NFL, I think what you don't want is, I think it is if I turn the faucet and it drips, or I turn the faucet and it floods. Like if we allow it in the facility, how much are these guys going to be talking about it, obsessed about it? It's an addictive thing. It's a very addictive thing. Do we want it invading the workplace?
Yeah, but I mean, there's been betting going on in locker rooms. Not obviously,
yeah, all
not,
illegal.
All
illegal.
You know, I mean, like,
have to take that into consideration.
Right. No, and I look back to the Geno Smith incident from when he was with the Jets.
Right.
Yeah, I can't remember who the guy he got into a fight with, Ime Udoka or something. No, it wasn't that.
No.
It doesn't matter. But remember, he got into the fight and he got his jaw broken.
Right, right.
You know, that was over gambling.
Right, but again, it's different than two guys betting on like a thing, right? Like the league, they're not going, you're allowed to do that. Like that's just two guys doing that. Well, I want to make this point. I agree with you. I think it is. If I'm an NFL owner, do I want my locker room and my players just on their phones constantly gambling? This is an addictive thing. Or would you rather be like, let your wives handle that? Let your wives deal with that.
Let your entourage.
Yeah, whatever it is. If you're not married, let your group deal with that. But when you're here, I don't need you checking your phones, looking at your phones, looking to see what the line is.
And there's truth to that.
Checking out
with
this. I don't want you doing that.
You know, there's probably
an addictive personality. Let's be all honest. It's like I'm not making a moral judgment on it. It's addictive. Phil Mickelson says it all the time. It can consume you in a way that is the only thing you care about. Now, granted, we've got all of it, and that's fine. So is alcohol. But if you say to a player, you can drink as much as you want, at the facility. Bring booze in. It's fine. Bring a whole bottle of vodka in.
Yeah.
At what point do you go, are we even allowed to stop this? Like, a guy just brought in 10 bottles of alcohol and drank two of them and handed the rest of the team in the locker room.
Before
like,
the game.
I think what the NFL is just simply saying is this. We don't want an ocean of this activity in our building. Like, literally. We have 53 guys. If we can just get them to come to work and do the job and pay attention, whatever they want to do, them to be here a couple of hours a day.
Is this rule then in place to help the coaches out who can't control the locker room?
No.
No, I'm being well, serious. I get what you're saying. There are certain companies that will say, hey, you guys, you know, during the hours of 8 and 5 when you're here, we don't want you on social media.
You can do it
on your lunch break, exactly. But not during work hours.
I just think that it's not out. I don't think it's crazy for an NFL team to say, we don't want you participate. We don't want you gambling on your phone in the building. Like, I just think that's a normal workplace kind of thing. To me, it's that simple. Because I think, you've got an entire team, and if you just say, yeah, you can make a few bets. What do you do when if it's like, shoot, we can't even get people to meetings because the line on the Bucks-Celtics game changed, and they're all on their phones. Like, I think it's the NFL saying, you know what? You can do it all day, all night, anywhere else, but when you're at work, you're at work. And we just don't want you doing that because it's a real problem. You guys have disposable income unlike anybody else, and we just don't really want everybody gambling and everyone yelling and arguing and talking and all that stuff. And they just don't want to do it.